This is the Drunken Fist Podcast with your hosts. I'm David Bordeaux.
I'm Justin Plavik.
This podcast is made possible by the fans of the show. For more information, please visit drunkenfistpodcast.com/fans. How did we decide to come up with the topic of McDojos for today?
Well, lately, I mean, we try to be pretty informative at the best of our ability. And I feel like, you know, when I was shopping for other martial arts to do around the town, it seems like it's popping up more often than it should be. Before we get there, though, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Founders Dirty Bastard Scotch Style Ale. When I lived in Toledo, the Toledo area, Northwest Ohio, especially like when I was in Bowling Green, but all over Northwest Ohio, most of the breweries that I used to drink from were Michigan breweries, Shorts, Bell's, and I really miss drinking the good old-fashioned Michigan breweries, and Founders happens to be one of them. They're from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they just have some really amazing brews. When I went to the store to pick up some I don't know why I said I went to the store, because I did not go to the store. I went to Amazon Fresh and said, deliver me some alcohol. Anyhow, when I saw that they had Founders on there and that it was Dirty Bastard, I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this. It's a strong beer. I'm not even sure what a Scotch style ale is. I mean, I've had this before, but I don't know that I've ever had any other Scotch styles, nor am I aware of any other Scotch styles. Doesn't mean that there aren't any, but
is it kind of like a Killian's?
No, this is good. Hold on. Let me take a sip. While I'm taking the sip, because you know I'm going to let you know what it tastes like and whatever, what is it that you're drinking today?
I shot for the stars today. I went a little bit different. There was one time on the show I was drinking wine, and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to do that again. But I do have a bottle of sake next to me.
Really?
Yep. I just got the very cheap Geikikan. Even says it's the finest sake. 15% alcohol in a 25-ounce bottle.
Nice.
And it's actually one of my favorites. I don't mind it for how cheap it is. It's only like $7 or $8 for a bottle.
Jesus, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. I didn't warm it up or anything. I'm just drinking at room temperature.
Well, not all sake is meant to be warmed up.
Right. This one's actually a little bit better cold, but I didn't feel like putting it in the fridge and have it take up a room. But I even got my nice little sake glass today and a little tiny carafe that I'm probably just going to skip all these and start drinking out of the bottle eventually.
Right on. All right. So as you were talking, I pulled up Untappd for the listeners. Mm-hmm. For the listeners who may not know, Justin and I are on Untappd with the old name of Drunken Fist Pod. Anywhere we are, you can find us by searching Drunken Fist Pod. Justin, how do you spell pod?
That's P-O-D.
I was pulling that up and checking in for this Founders Dirty Bastard on Untappd. So this Dirty Bastard, great fucking name. It's malty, like very malty, and with the malty flavor, you get sweetness with it, which is something I really like. It is a higher percentage alcohol. Yeah, there it is, 8.5. So, I mean, nowadays it's kind of considered middle of the road for some, but yeah, I love the malty flavor. And even on the back, it says that it has a complex finish. I don't know that if it's really, I don't know. For me, I don't know that I would consider a complex finish. But it kind of reminds me somewhat of a peated whiskey. I would almost kind of say it has like a caramel flavor. But it's definitely a strong ale. One that I definitely recommend.
When they do that peat smoking with whiskeys and stuff, that's really good. Those are probably one of my favorites. The sake, it's got that very strong gasoline aftertaste. It's good, though. I like it. I just drink straight gasoline when I run out of booze, so it's fine.
Kerosene is my preference, but, you know, it was interesting that in the one episode that you drank wine and I was just appalled at your wine tasting abilities and drinking.
It was amazing. That's what it was. I am a wine connoisseur.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I felt a little intimidated, and that's why I even said that maybe, you know, I'm going to have to drink wine on one of these. And I have a whole shit ton of wine, but I have yet to pull one out. Maybe in the next couple episodes, I'll pull one out and do my best to hide my insecurities of how awesome you are at drinking and expressing the taste of wine. But that might be coming up sometime soon.
My wife won't stop buying those shipments. So she gets like 6 to 10 bottles a month, and she's barely cracked into them. I'm like, come on, start drinking if you're going to keep buying.
Some of the listeners may have seen on our Instagram page that I found out about a brand called Empathy Wines, and they are some small farmers who make blends. They do reds, whites, and rosés. But I've consumed wine that tastes like this, like at a 40 to maybe 50, 50 is a little bit high, but like a $40-$45 a bottle of wine. And I have a membership now where in the spring they send 3 bottles of rosé, their rosé blend. In the summer, 3 bottles of white, which I just opened one last night to eat with Chinese food because I like Kung Pao chicken. Don't know why. Well, I love the saying it. Like when I order, I'm like, Kung Pao. And I apologize to anyone who might be offended. I was like, shit, I got a lot of wine. What should I drink? And I went online. I'm like, hey, what goes good with Kung Pao chicken? And I'm just like laughing to myself, like, I won't find anything. And there were several recommendations for different wines. Some I've never heard of. I mean, like they were very specific to a vintage, particular, blah, blah, blah. But then I found some general recommendations for Chardonnay, and I had just finished a bottle of Chardonnay the other night. I'm like, damn it. And the only wines that I have left are a Merlot, a Red Blend, Zinfandel, whatever, but I didn't have any whites. But then I remembered, I'm like, fuck, I just got that shipment of Empathy. Now, it's not a Chardonnay. The Chardonnay that I had the night before definitely had some oakiness to it. It wasn't dry, but it was like drier than the Empathy. But anyway, but when I had the Empathy white with the Kung Pao chicken, like it was really good.
Yeah, she keeps getting these $100. Or I do too. We keep getting these like $100 vouchers to places like this where you order them online and then you just pay for shipping and handling, which is usually like $40 bucks. But I mean, the wine you're getting is still worth more than $40. So,
yeah.
But she does the same thing. Like, you know, you pick what she's not allowed to pick the exact kinds, but like she's allowed to put like, you know, does she like reds or whites or rosés and stuff? And then they just send you a mix of whatever you chose.
Yeah, for now, I'm drinking this Dirty Bastard, and it is delicious. Let's get back into the McDojo.
McDojos.
So what? I promise it's not the beer yet. I just opened it. What is it that we're going to be doing with the topic of McDojos?
We're going to start with how to spot them so that you can have a better idea on how to, you know, make your decision based on where you want to go.
Well, in order to spot them, one might have to know what a McDojo is.
Yeah, there you go.
It probably would be beneficial to detail for those who might not know. I'm pretty comfortable in saying that I'm sure that many of our listeners know exactly what a McDojo is. At the same time, I know that there's might be a few out there who've never heard of it, especially some who are from different parts of the world.
Yep, that's my fault. I assumed too much. I felt like, sorry. Well, McDojo, comes from McDonald's, how there's just a billion of them out there all over the country. And, you know, it's relatively cheap to go eat at a McDonald's. It's a dime a dozen. The McDojo refers to that it is a place that is technically fake, but they're trying to sell it off as a real martial arts place. And there's a lot of factors that can go into a McDojo.
I'm going to interject here.
Please do.
I've often heard McDojos referred to as fake martial arts schools. I have a problem with that understanding. And I think like the best way to explain my point, but even in my idea to get an idea as to what a McDojo is to look at, you know, like the part that you say with the Mick coming from McDonald's. Now, if we're looking at fake, what about McDonald's, either the company or what they sell, would you consider fake?
Right. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a fake martial art, too. I think McDojo really refers to the fact that the person is really just trying to do everything they can to just pull as much money as possible. So if you think about McDonald's, they're all over the world and they make millions of dollars a day. So it goes back to that kind of concept, like, what can I do to just pull in as much money as possible while kind of like leaving the authenticity of the art kind of behind?
Okay.
So I think that's more what I wanted to steer with, and I just came off wrong.
Right on. I have to agree with the money idea, because if we look at the corporation, the McDonald's corporation, it's not even a restaurant corporation. It is a real estate corporation. It's a real estate business, because McDonald's corporate owns the land that all of the franchises are built upon. And it creates like this, what is it, indentured servitude to McDonald's. Like, if you own a franchise, you cannot build one anywhere. You have to build one on McDonald's property. So you have that, but like the reason why it's there, I mean, why that aspect of it is important is because of the idea that the McDonald's Corporation is trying to get as much money from what they do as possible. Like, kind of going back to the business side, or I mean, to the restaurant side, at least when it comes to the actual martial art, we have to, I would say we have to kind of look at a hamburger as being the equivalent of a martial art with regards to McDonald's. Now, when you go to McDonald's, there are certain, like when you, and you order a hamburger, you know, you're getting a hamburger because there are certain aspects to a hamburger that make a hamburger. One, there's some sort of patty, usually of a beef origin, although I've seen hamburgers or burgers, if you will, you know, called like chicken burgers. And then you have like the veggie burgers and stuff. But I'm going to, when I talk about burger, I'm going to refer to it as maybe a beef-based patty. So with a hamburger, you usually have a bun, you have a beef patty, and you may or may not have condiments. Usually condiments are sold with it. And that essentially is a burger. Now, you go to McDonald's, and if you order just a hamburger, you get a bun, you get a beef patty. It's somewhat seasoned, heavily seasoned with salt, actually. And you get diced onions, you get pickles, and you get ketchup. Technically, hamburger. Now, is it the best hamburger you've ever had? Is it a healthy hamburger? Is it this burger, that burger? The answer most typically is no. It is a McDonald's hamburger. Still very much a hamburger. At the same time, it may not meet the merits of other hamburgers.
They're just trying to appeal to the common average of a burger.
I mean, it's one of the most inexpensive burgers you can find. I can just go right down the road, pick up a burger, and boom, I'm done. I can get two of them for $2. I can get a McDouble, which is a special fancy one with two patties, but only one slice of cheese, pickles, ketchup, onions for $2. The point being is that I can just go anywhere, get one. It's a hamburger. Now, is it a gourmet burger? Fuck no. When I make my burgers, I like to grind my own meat, three different types. Sometimes I will make my own buns, but that really kind of depends on time. I definitely put in some tomato. I usually do like a special sauce that I mix in, ketchup, mayonnaise, blah, 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 blah. But when I make that, the taste is way better than McDonald's, but they are still both burgers. They are slightly different. Now, it costs time-wise a bit more time to make mine. Ingredient-wise, a little bit more because I like to mix in, I like to grind my own meat and the three different types of meat or cuts of meat that go into it. My burger might cost more, both in money and time, however, and taste. It'll definitely taste different, but they're both burgers. Another thing, like with McDonald's, is I don't think that McDonald's is a place that cares about people. I don't think that they care about whether people like the food or not. Like, I think that it seems that they care just like enough that people like their food just enough to go and get it. If people can't afford something better, they almost always, for those who do, they'll default to McDonald's because they can afford it. It's cheap, it's quick, and they go there. But I really don't consider McDonald's a place that cares about people. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into McDonald's and the restaurants are just filthy, including, I live near Dublin, Ohio, which is kind of a well-to-do suburb. And I've gone into McDonald's in Dublin and they're filthy. They're filthy. And that seems to be kind of like a common denominator in my experiences at McDonald's. It doesn't seem that they care about their customers. The customer experience, like they give you just enough to get your money and the hopes that you come back. I mean, and it's not even like really like a hope. It's kind of like that. Well, we know you can't afford anything else. And if you want a burger, you're probably coming to us. So you go there. Now, there is like this guise of care, and I know that we'll probably get a lot of argument on this because the McDonald's Corporation, they have Ronald McDonald House, which that particular branch or wing or association of McDonald's is a really good organization that does a lot of help. And has helped lots of families in need, especially, I mean, for those who are going through really tough times with medical treatments and that. Ronald McDonald House is a really great thing. And I'm saying this with great, like with the most sincerity that I truly think that the Ronald McDonald House is great. And I know that it's related to McDonald's, but I do not see those two things as being the same. I see it as like McDonald's way of like, oh, but we do care. We do well. But I don't see it in their food. I don't see it in their restaurants.
I used to work at one. And like, I feel like anyone who has worked at a McDonald's probably doesn't really eat there. I have seen some stuff. I'm not going to get into that because that's not the episode, but.
Right.
They don't care. And they definitely don't care about their employees.
That was something that I was going to say, but I can't talk to that directly because I've never been employed by McDonald's. I've worked at Burger King and there's some sort of relation, but every time that I've talked to a McDonald's employee, it's worse. It's much worse. I mean, it's just like, damn. And what I find interesting is that McDonald's seems to be very comfortable when they can get away with it, hiring like 16 to 17 year olds and putting them in positions of management. They're not managers. They are not doing well, but in the stores that they can get away with it, they will put, I mean, the people may be qualified, like they may have actual managerial ability. I've seen it more often than not though, that McDonald's will put these very young individuals in a management position and have to deal with things way above anything that they've ever experienced. And a lot of times I personally know people who have been burned by that. Now, there are some who have learned and have grown and then gone on to be really good managers. But that, in my experience of talking to the people that I have, that seems to be more of the exception than the rule. But it's almost kind of cult-like the way that, you know, it's like you must do what we say, do with the way that we do it, come in even though you're not scheduled to, but you know, like you don't even have to because you're not scheduled, but we really need you to. And if you don't come in, there's going to be like consequences for you. I can't tell you the number of times of people that I know who have been fired for not coming in when they didn't have to, but because someone called off and the managers would ask them to come in. And so there was always like that fear of, oh gosh, if I don't do it today, you know, if I don't go in today, I might get fired. And then I know people who have gotten fired because every time they've been called, you know, like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And then it kind of like breeds like this cult-like mentality where anything that McDonald's says, anything at any time, you really need to do it. You need to kind of like get in line with everything.
Ugh. Well, and you know, I don't know if this is, you know, I'll just tell my story real quick. I don't know if this is every McDonald's, but when I was working there, I was only like 14, 15 years old. So I'm still a dumb kid, but I was amazing at grill. I work the morning shift. I get there at 4:30 in the morning and start everything up. And then I was there when we were still switching over to lunch, but they would make me do the dishes, which is fucking awful, man. That's the worst thing. Sure. I hate doing dishes to this day. And it's because of that fucking job.
Right.
But my other buddy, they'd put him on grill and me on dishes, but I liked doing grill and I was really good at it. Like I was very efficient. Mm-hmm. And he liked doing the dishes because he could just do the dishes and go home because we had just like the way our shifts lined up. He right. always left first. It was kind of weird. I got there first, but he left first. I don't know. I think he just had something to do where right. he agreed with McDonald's where like that's the end of my shift. But they'd always put me on the dishes until like one day we both flipped out and we didn't say anything. We just switched spots because he wanted to do right. the dishes and just go home. And I just wanted to do grill until my shift ends because I worked right. in from breakfast into lunch, which is a completely different way of cooking. Breakfast is actually way harder because you had to deal with a bunch of shit.
Yes. Yes. But
that's what I want to do.
I obviously didn't work at McDonald's, but I worked at Burger King. And there are times where I went from breakfast all the way to dinner shift. And lunch and dinner, it's the same menu. It's just different speed in which you have to kind of go, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, you got the rushes.
Breakfast was definitely, and that changeover, because it changed over right as lunch started. And man, yeah. So anyway, I apologize. Please.
No, continue. No worries. Yeah, the changeover was always rough. Even to this day, I think I'd still get agitated if I had to do that. But, you know, we just switched spots one day without even saying anything because they're like, all right, Justin, go do dishes. All right, so-and-so, go do grill. And we're like, we just right. looked at each other and we just walked the opposite directions. And, you know, the manager came over and flipped out on us. It's like, why are you trying to put us in positions where we are most efficient this way? You recognize I'm good at this, he's good at that, but yet you still want to fuck around.
Right.
But anyway, I definitely got fired from there for a good reason. Not from not coming to a shift I wasn't supposed to be at. I said, right. Yeah, I'll just say it because that's actually kind of funny. Remember, I'm only 15 years old or 14. But somebody ordered a fish fillet and somebody called out the order for whatever reason because I can see it on the screen. But I'm like, okay, one McPenis fillet coming up. Like, they sat me down. in the dining room, they're like, Justin, this is a family restaurant. I'm like, really? I can't tell.
Right.
And they're like, all right, well, you're suspended. So go to your suspension. We'll talk later about your job. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not coming back. And I just walked out.
All right. So clearly, McDonald's has some issues. So with that framing of how McDonald's, at least through our experiences, is or was, in what ways does a McDojo reflect McDonald's in your opinion?
Just exactly like we were saying before, they don't really care about. So here's the thing, here's kind of how I see it. I don't think McDonald's really cares about the customer, but more as the charade of like, what could a customer want? What can we appeal to? That's why they come out with a different burger every fucking month.
Right.
And then you have the McDojo is, I don't care about you, but I'm going to give you what I think you want. And you want this right. mystical mountaintop, you know, that I've never been to. And you want this lineage that I've.
But I have been there.
I have been there. I've been to mountain martial arts.
Don't ask me too much about it.
Right, exactly. And we'll touch on that.
Don't you dare look into my history because, well, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
Coming to your shift next Tuesday.
And that's exactly what it is. It is, they just, it's a marketing scheme almost. You know, it's whatever mm-hmm. they can do to stay afloat. And unfortunately, we live in a world where anyone can open a martial arts dojo. You don't have to have any credentials.
Well, see, and that's why I wanted to clarify, or at least to define the way that we understand what a McDojo is, because I know people who are working hard to keep their business. I mean, and not even talking about COVID-19, which is what we're currently experiencing right now as we record this, not even talking about that. But there are times where there are martial arts instructors who are not business people. They love martial arts. They want to teach, and they have a school which technically is a business, but they don't have any business background, and because of that, their schools sometimes suffer. I mean, there are some who learn it along the way and they get good at it, and there's others who still just struggle. And unfortunately, those good instructors with a good intention who care about their students and obviously care about keeping the business open, they will sometimes do the same sort of thing that you were kind of like alluding to, where they will, oh, Krav Maga sounds really important. And like they've heard about this seminar and the seminar talks up huge about Krav Maga. Hey, sign up here and you can license Krav Maga and teach it at your school. Yep. And, you know, and there's no diss on Krav Maga. What the challenge comes in is this good intentioned business owner now starts to add this program, and then they, oh, well, maybe that's not working. And sometimes, again, because they're not good business people, they too quickly try to add something else because, you know, like that Krav Maga offering doesn't bring stuff in almost immediately. But the difference though is that McDojo will often offer so many different things, and it's not because they're trying to keep afloat. I mean, in some cases it is, yeah, because I've met far too many McDojo owners who just, they have no business being in business, not because I think because they're running a McDojo, is like they just, oh Jesus Christ, but they too will just throw anything. Here's Oh, Krav Maga. Here, mixed martial arts. Today, we're teaching parkour. We have some Olympic flipping going on. And it's like, you know, cool. I appreciate if you're trying to keep your business open and you're trying to serve what your customer wants, but you may not be going in the right direction. But there are like legit McDojos who are not in financial trouble who offer this because quantity for them is king. They don't care about quality. If they can get someone through the door to pay, that is what they care about. And unfortunately, there are these lines that it's hard to tell. Because like I said, I know people, dear friends of mine, so I won't call them out, but they just keep adding program after program after program after program, hoping that that is what will keep their business afloat. And in reality, it's the idea that you really just need to learn business or get somebody to come in who can do business for you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there are these hard areas. It's kind of like when I was trying to talk about defining a burger. You know, I can make my homemade burger that tastes different than McDonald's burger. It's still a burger, but it's like, why would I make this burger different? Now, if I need to start pumping stuff out because like I need to now live off of burgers, I too might not grind three different types of meat. I might just put one type in. I might get the most inexpensive bun I can, hopefully as much quality as possible. But then my burger starts to look like a McDonald's burger. Now, it still might taste different, and hopefully mine would still be better. But when I start to change things like that, then I start to kind of look like a McDonald's. Same sort of thing with McDojos. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. So with that in mind, what are some ways that you think are kind of like, here's an easy way to tell what a McDojo is?
I have tons of things that I've seen throughout here because I've been trying really hard to find a place to kind of just start over. And Japanese jiu-jitsu is fucking awesome. But I'm like, you know, I should just start over because I can't practice that same art anymore. When looking around, I see a lot of places now, like McDonald's, kind of catered to the masses. So everybody, and this is one of my pet peeves. Oh my God, I'm sorry. You can't see me, but my face is down. Everybody calls martial arts karate nowadays. So if you're at Taekwondo place, some even, I've seen even Brazilian jiu-jitsu places do this. They call it on the front of their building, karate. It's so annoying. It is not, it does not mean martial arts, people. And it's, so that's just one of the ones for me. And then the second biggest one, there's tons of these. So we'll have plenty of room to talk about it, but long-term contracts. If you want to sign up here, you got to sign a contract and you got to be here for a year. That's a bad no-no sign. I have never been into a dojo gym establishment that makes you have a long-term contract. It's usually month to month, which you don't have to sign anything. Oh, have you?
I have. And again, this comes back down to one of these gray areas. There's people who do not know business. Like they don't know it intuitively. They are not business people. And there are some who sign up with billing programs or billing companies that tell the martial artists that or martial arts instructors, hey, the way to make money, the way to go are long-term contracts. The way to go, blah, blah, blah. And some of these billing companies are billing companies that also work with places like gyms, where like fitness facilities, where long-term contracts is how a fitness facility make their money, because there are people who, let's say, sign up at the beginning of the year, they have huge intentions, and maybe about like a month and a half later, maybe even 3 months later, then for whatever reason, they stop going. Well, it would be too easy to say, I would like to cancel my membership and then bounce. So in order to keep gyms afloat, they have these long-term contracts, which keep people locked in. And there are well-intentioned martial artists who own businesses who hear these things because they're being told that by people that they're paying good money to. And they get into that.
Yeah,
now,
they go with it. Now, I also have to preference really quick.
Go ahead, man.
Not one of these things or even a handful could make your establishment a McDojo. But if you have quite the list, remember, we're just trying to see how to spot a possible McJojo. I think the naked eye can show people exactly like, okay, this isn't the establishment for me. But just remember, we're not saying that any one off this list makes you a McDojo. We're going through the kind of list on how to spot it. And if you see multiple, some red flags might need to go up in your head about it is all.
All right. So what's another one beyond the contract?
Beyond the contract and the karate sign, which is my favorite.
God. Karate, dude. Ugh. I have a friend who runs a Tang Soo Do school, and this friend continually refers to it as karate or karate. I'm working to say karate now because when our episodes are transcribed, the transcription service just does all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyway, my friend who does Tang Soo Do will even post things on the internet, like on Facebook, and that it's like, blah, 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 blah. That's what karate life is like. And it's just, oh my God, stop.
Yeah, that's not the same thing, dude.
All right.
Completely different
country. Let's keep going. This is going to be a long episode if I don't stop. So please keep going.
No, it's okay. This is my favorite one. Hiding your lineage.
Okay.
So not actually, you know, you say you're a black belt, but kind of where's the proof kind of thing. And when you bring it up, they get really defensive.
Gotcha.
Or you have this, I've been on a mystical mountaintop training with monks for years kind of thing.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't mean it's not true. Like I said, one of these doesn't make you a McDojo, but I've seen more often than not, I can't remember who they were and I wouldn't say their name anyway, but searching online, it literally said that. It said like, I was on a mountaintop, trained with so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, right. I've never even heard of this place or person. So,
right.
And you were there for 20 years? Okay.
All right. Yeah. And see, and it's kind of interesting because people who ran schools back in the day, it was a lot harder to verify particular information. But now in the age in which we live, information is at our fingertips. We can totally do it. And if we can't particularly find it, there are people on the internet who can find it for us if we have suspicion. All right, what's another one, man?
Well, those ones are my favorite. So we'll get into the other ones that are a little bit more. It doesn't exactly make you a McDojo, but like combinations of these can get dangerous for the person trying to purchase your brand, or, well, I'm going to call it a brand because that's what they're doing. They're sure, branded.
Well, I mean, any business should be branded. But anyway,
exactly, exactly. Another one is you have way too many belt colors to get through.
Yes.
So you have white.
Yes.
White with black stripe. White with two black stripes. White with four black stripes. Oh, then we can go to yellow with black stripes. Like, so you just, you keep chunking out these hundreds of belt colors. That one's a big one for me. I haven't seen too much of that, honestly.
Oh my gosh, I have. And,
please tell me.
That's a huge pet peeve of mine because I know someone too who happens to be in one of these schools, and I feel so bad for her. But she loves it, and just like it's her life and everything. So I don't have, I mean, like, there's no point for me to even point out the areas that, like, don't think you're in the best school. But,
right. But
anyway, yes, where, like what you said, Justin, there'll be a white belt and then like a white stripe, and then maybe, a white belt with a black stripe, then a double black stripe, and then maybe it's white, half yellow, then there's a yellow belt, then there's a yellow white stripe, a yellow double white stripe,
then there's
a yellow
an orange
black stripe. Not even, dude.
Not even getting there yet.
Then there's a black stripe. Then there's a double black stripe. Then there's a half yellow, half whatever the next color is. And he just goes on and on. And the question is, why? Now, some will argue that we do this to promote.
Well, some like the small steps to get to your final destination. So, like, they'd like to see the small promotions leading up to
the progression. Yeah.
But then the other side is,
well, the other side is exactly this, where, and this is going to add into it, but it's like the longer you are in a certain rank, but supposedly making progress by getting these stripes, but the longer that you're in this belt, the longer you're in my school, and the longer you're in my school, you are paying me.
Exactly.
And the schools that really get on my fucking nerve, in addition to the McDojos, specifically the McDojos that have the bazillion different belts, so that way people always have to stay in the school just to pay, are the schools that also charge $100+ per belt testing. And they test going from white to black stripe to double black stripe to half white, half yellow. And every single time along that, you have to pay for this testing. That absolutely burns me the fuck up. And for me, even if somehow a school that legitimately, and I'm doing air quotes right now, legitimately does that, if that is not a motherfucking McDojo, Jesus Christ, dude.
No,
I apologize for those who I just offended with by saying Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about that.
I care about our listeners.
I know, I care too, but we're in a heated conversation, so it's the battle of passion right now. My wife works, works with somebody. And she has her kids, and this is going to come to my next one for a McDojo. Oh, dude, yeah, keep drinking. You guys can't see it, but his beer's almost gone. He's going to have to open another one.
No,
you want to see my bottle of sake? Here.
We're going to have to wrap it up here pretty quickly.
You see?
I see, but our listeners can't, so that doesn't help.
A 24-ounce bottle, people, is almost gone. That's my bad. Alcoholism. All right, anyway. But this is going to lead perfectly into my next example, but my wife works with another coworker, and she puts her kids in Taekwondo.
Okay.
When they could easily just train with me for pennies or honestly, probably nothing. But that's okay. That's besides the point. It's not about me. But they are required to do belt testings, even if they're not ready.
Yep.
Besides yep. that, they are required yep. to go to seminars that are hundreds of dollars to go to.
Goddamn right.
So purchasing the belt at a constant thing and purchasing these seminars, that is a huge sign. That's a no-no. Like that's so much money out of your pocket just to get a black belt. So it's like
See, I mean, like even that verbiage kind of frustrates me, but I know what you mean. I mean, it's like it's not, and that's the problem is like when we get into this cycle of things, it then is to get a black belt,
right?
Like a legit thing to hold, because I've spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to get here, and you know what fucking happens? People almost always fucking leave those schools as soon mm-hmm. as they get a black belt. We already have a problem in the martial arts community with helping to educate people that a black belt does not mean the end of the journey. Now, in some styles, it means you have reached like the top. At the same time, even in those styles, you can still keep going. But what the problem comes in is that not only do we have to educate people to let them to help them understand that the black belt is not the end of the journey. Now, if you wish to stop your journey there, hey, that's on you. Please, you know, do what feels best for you. But what happens is that when people have been exhausted paying thousands upon thousands of dollars for just for tests for each belt for however many months, years that they've been in there, they're done. They're cashing the fuck out. And that's why these McDojos add more belts, because they know as soon as they get to the black belt, these people are gone. Well, no matter how good of a business person you are, you're going to have people that will still stop regardless when they get to black belt. There's right. nothing so you can do about it.
There has to be a consideration to, you know, keep a person you there.
That shit's not, I mean, they're just going to leave. But there's people who would stay longer to continue their journey in martial arts. But it is up to the instructor. It's up to the entire facility to help the person understand the value that they get. And if they have the means to and the want to, you know, they can see the value in going, then they'll keep going. But a fucking McDojo offers no goddamn value. It's just like, you know, going back to McDonald's. If McDonald's stopped offering inexpensive shit burgers, you know, like let's say they charge $3 for a shit burger, people are not going to buy those shit burgers. They're going to go to another fast food place that has a burger that's more tasty and might even be more appropriate for the person's interests, because right. $3 at that point. So they drop the price. So that way it's like, dude, you can't find a cheaper place anywhere else. And a lot of times these damn McDojos sometimes will even get you with these cheap prices, like this cheap month to month. But then again, the belt testing is $100 fucking
or more.
Then these mandatory workshops or seminars that are not specific to the curriculum, because if it's specific to the curriculum, it should be in your classes that you're fucking paying for. And damn it, I didn't realize I was going to get so fucking worked up about this shit. So
no,
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. But this is exactly what we're after.
Pisses me the fuck off. God,
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of jealous, because I was, and it doesn't make my art not anything. So, but I'm just saying, I'm jealous because, and I've tried Aikido, my jiu-jitsu. I'll just stick with my jiu-jitsu. That was, you were either white or black.
Right.
And you still had the ranks of, you know, going up, but you're different levels of white till you get to that black.
It just wasn't designated by the belt color.
Right.
Yeah.
How you knew someone's rank, you practiced with them. It's right. kind of like Kendo. Kendo has ranks, but they don't have belt color. They don't even wear a belt. Right. I've always wanted to try Kendo. I just couldn't afford it.
Speaking of money.
Yeah. But that it's kind of the same idea. And then you have these people that are just, they give into it. They want that black belt, so they're going to pay for it. There are some places that I've heard of that have accelerated programs where You can get your black belt in 3 months. I have another person telling me, I won't say her name, but I will say the organization because I didn't say it. So I'm not calling them out. She is. But she was.
But you're okay. There's no verification of that this person exists other than you said that blah, 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 blah.
That's so fine with me.
You are calling them out. You are calling them out.
Okay, fine. I won't say the organization's name. Well, let's say a certain American Taekwondo
has organization or sure, association
place. We'll do that. I've already said most of it. Yeah. Sorry, David's giving me faces right now. Yeah, but because, a certain American Taekwondo association. I don't know if I'm using the terms correctly. Let's just say organization. Even she called it a black belt factory where she sees people taking their black belt test, not even doing their required stuff, which is just fucking breaking boards most of the time, get their black belt.
Yeah.
I know. I saw your face. We're going to talk about board breaking in a second.
Well, that was my next one. One thing. Well, I mean, it is what it is. But that organization sounds very familiar, very similar to the one that I was just talking about, how the lady that I know who dearly loves her school and has put years upon years of vested interest in it, you know, and time and effort, and she loves the school. And I'm in no position for her, you know, to be like, yeah, well, you know, blah, 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 because for her, she gets out of it what she needs.
Exactly. It's not really your place to tell her what it is. No. It's the same thing with my wife's coworker. It's in a very similar Taekwondo organization, and it's very expensive.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, like going kind of like piggybacking on the fast track thing, which McDojos will have fast track programs where you can get your black belt in a year. I've never heard 3 months, but I can imagine, you know, get it in a year, get it in 2 years. So, but like the opposite of the bazillion half belts, part belts, and all of this is you earn your black belt in 1 to 2 years. Even if they don't even call it a fast track.
That's still a fast track, in my opinion. A black belt should not take 1 to 2 years for many arts.
Well,
but it's also my opinion, so I'm biased.
Well, getting into how long it takes to do a black belt is kind of a challenge that we have right now with not identifying a particular art. Mm-hmm. For example, if we're looking at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a very common time frame to earn your black belt is 10 years.
Right.
I almost said karate.
And I believe karate. I think a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is 10 or longer. Hard art. Don't think much of some of the attitudes that come from the people that do BJJ, but I mean, it's a hard art.
Well, I mean, like almost any art is hard. The challenge when it comes to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the way that you earn your rank. And this isn't the show to talk about it. No. But so getting back to it, though, I mean, like I've known some people who've earned their black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 6 years. Now, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, 6 years is kind of like, wow, that's quick. Because if 10 is the kind of common target, then 6 years will be very quick. Now, in karate, about 4 years is pretty common, whereas, you know, going up to 6 years definitely is a thing. It's not as common, but it's definitely a thing. And then maybe getting it in 3 years.
And, you know, it's like, Chuck Norris got it in 1 year in Japan, so that's pretty impressive.
Okay, and Chuck Norris is qualified in how many arts?
I have no idea. I can look it up.
Okay, well, let's not. Even the 3 year thing
we're gonna look it up.
In Taekwondo, specifically in Kukkiquan, I have known people who've earned their black belt in 2 years. I've actually associated with an individual who runs a school that is certified under Kukkiquan, who pumps out black belts like it's nobody's business. He's no longer in business. And I think I might have even talked about him on one episode or not. But yeah, he's no longer in business. But Taekwondo seems to be about a, in a non-McDojo school, about a 3 to 4 year program. So, but yeah, so anyway, getting back to it, like McDojos can either be identified by a bazillion different belts, and it takes forever to earn your black belt, or you can earn it in about a year to 2 years. Pay and off. Yeah, I mean, you know, especially if you do the fast track.
Yep.
All right. Got any more, man?
I do, but we could always do a part two because I know.
Let's do a part two. Let's do a part two. The couple things that, like, while these aren't ways to identify McDojos, these are kind of things that I would say to look for in a school. I'll get this one out of the way because this is more of a personal preference, is that look for a school that, if you're learning martial arts, look for a school that teaches reality-based self-defense or reality-based techniques and applications. Now, not every technique is going to be, quote, reality, because some of the scenarios were not created in our time. And therefore, those techniques and that may not be applicable now. However, it's still part of the art. I would encourage people to look for schools that teach techniques that would help with today's situations of harm, of attack, and that. But that, again, that's more just like of a personal thing. But a couple of things that I would say is look for a school that cares more about the knowledge over money. Yes, there are going to be businesses, and yes, they still need to make money. Yep. They need to be able to have the four walls, the lights, and everything, so you can go to that school to train. I'm not saying if they charge money that they're a McDojo. And there's a lot of people who seem to think that, which, fuck them. They're wrong.
Again, but one of our topics that we were talking about makes you a McDojo. It's just enlightenment to you make your own decision on it.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of going off on people who seem to think that martial arts should never be charged for in that. And, you know, that's fine. At the same time, if you're going to a martial arts school that has a physical location, they need to pay for that location, you know, to be able to keep it on. But anyway, look for knowledge over money. Look for the instructors who genuinely care about your development and the development of other students in that art, as opposed to looking after it because of money or for money. The other tip kind of relates to this, but it's looking for quality over quantity. Kind of going back to the McDonald's thing. McDonald's want to get out as many shitty hamburgers as they can for as less as they can.
But that's hard to see for newcomers. People who don't know martial arts, they might not see quantity or quality. They just might see like, hey, this is, he's got what I'm looking for. I'm going to be a fucking secret ninja.
Well, again, secret ninja, that should raise red flags. But right. If that's what you're looking for, and I'll kind of get that to that at the end here, but look for quality over quantity. And like, cause if you join a school, or if you know of a school and you see people who are just advancing in rank, they look like fish on a ground, and everybody kind of looks like that, but they seem to be advancing, then there's something going on. That's more of quantity over quality.
Right.
Now, you might have some floppy fish people who go up in rank in those particular, but if everybody else, if the majority isn't like that, then that might be a fucking special case. And special cases should be accommodated for in some way. Now, I'm not going to tell, you know, somebody how they should rank people. I'm not going to say how other people should be ranked. But if everybody on the floor looks like a flopping fish and everybody is able to be ranked up, you know, and they just keep earning rank, that is a huge sign. So look for quality over quantity. Another, and this one kind of comes back to McDonald's in a way, but look for safety and cleanliness. Now, safety, there's a lot of times McDojos, people will get hurt left and right. Now, I've broken fingers, I've broken my pinky finger in a safe environment. But martial arts is inherently dangerous.
Right. That's why you sign a waiver most of the time to say you're doing a dangerous art. But there are some people that don't give the consideration to safety.
But the thing is, like, they don't give a consideration to safety because in their world, it doesn't exist. Or they don't even have the cognitive foresight to think about such things.
Exactly.
And now, again, if that is the only one, it doesn't necessarily make it a McDojo, but it makes an irresponsible school GTFO. Get the fuck out. But then it comes to the cleanliness thing. You know, like, when you walk in, if it smells like a locker room and just filled with sweat and that, and the equipment is dirty and there's just stuff stacked up in that, get out. There's no reason why you should ever have to be in an unclean environment. And especially now that we're dealing with COVID and everything, the sanitation and cleanliness standards need to be a lot higher anyway. But look for safety and cleanliness, because that's like a key thing.
Right. Really, and it's up to the instructor too. So if the instructor doesn't recognize that cleanliness, that's his or her fuck up. I had a girl high school age who I was teaching in Bowling Green for quite a long time, and she walked in and she didn't tell me, you know, when you're wearing a gi and stuff, it's hard to tell. But then she was finally like, oh, I have scabies. I'm like, get the fuck out right now. Get the fuck out of my dojo. I made everybody bleach the mats. Made everybody wash their hands and their wrists and their arms, whatever was fucking touched. And I'm like, everybody just go home. Like, this is now a health hazard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some things that you don't have privy to, I guess. It's just...
Yeah.
But like, as soon as I found out, I'm like, no, this is fucking shut down. Get out of here. And it was bad. Like it's up to me.
The last thing that I want to say, though, is that... Even if you find yourself in a McDojo, and as long as you're safe, but specifically, like, if you're safe, as long as you're happy, then keep going. Or if you've not yet gone there, then go ahead and go. If it checks all of the boxes for you, if you don't mind spend, like, if it's a school that has a bazillion different belts, you don't mind spending the kind of money that it takes to earn those belts or buy them in some cases, then go. If really your whole goal is to, quote, get a black belt as soon as possible, and that serves your purpose, then do it. Now, I have my opinions on that. I'm not going to share it at this time.
Right.
That ultimately, as long as you're safe, other people are safe,
right,
and you're happy, fine.
It could lead to an accident.
I mean, it could.
But I mean, even a safe martial art can. But I will say, we gave too many negatives. The positive would be, I think McDojos are
the
really good.
The positive of a McDojo?
They're really good for kids. Get them interested.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, it's not good for the parents because they're going to pay out the ass.
Because then if they know nothing else, then they think that is the marsh. Okay, Justin, we got to end this.
But they're kids.
No, fuck you, man. Fuck you. Kids deserve the right shit. They deserve better.
No, they definitely do. But I have seen some McDojos that actually get kids interested in martial arts. And then they figure it out and move on to better things. But... That's all the only positive I can get out of it. I mean, in the beginning, it's not too horrible.
No, fuck. Shut the fuck up, Justin. We're done. That's all for this episode of the Drunken Fist Podcast. Show notes are available at drunkenfistpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere quality martial art podcasts are provided. This show is made possible by its fans. To learn more, please visit drunkenfistpodcast.com/fans. And until we hit the mats again, thanks for drinking with us. Post.
Bye, guys. Have a good day.